You see people bring up toxic masculinity. And a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we want to encourage young men to grow and mature in their faith. Gen Z, we want you to be strong in your love for Christ and in your love for others. Last time I asked a bunch of questions about why do people do what they do, and the answer is because they want to. That's why you work out. That's why you eat healthy food. That's why you stay up late at night and study. It's because you want to. You want to do hard things because the result is good. And so again, all men seek happiness. This is without exception, but it's different for every person and why they're doing it. And what we're trying to affirm is that you're a Christian. And so you're going to pursue your greatest joy in God. This is something that John Piper calls Christian hedonism, the idea that by all means, pursue your greatest pleasure, but you're not going to find it in sin, and you're not going to find it in money, and you're not going to find it in anything this world has to offer. You can only find true joy, true pleasure, true delight in God. And so a Christian hedonist is encouraging you to actually pursue your greatest joy. Go for it. But you're going to only find it in God. And we talked about the Westminster Catechism. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And Piper says, by enjoying him forever. It's not just glorifying God and enjoying him forever, as if they're two separate things. And sometimes you're doing one and sometimes you're doing the other. No. If the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. So it's as you obey with delight, it's as you perform your duty with delight that God's going to be glorified and that you're going to be satisfied. And we looked at seven passages at the end of the last show, and maybe I'll just summarize all seven of them with Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So again, it's only as you delight in him, as you seek to glorify him, that you'll find happiness, and that in doing that, you've got to be able to walk in obedience, because you won't find delight in sin. You just won't. And this is where we're coming to today. In today's show, as we continue to talk about pursuing your joy in your Christian walk, I want to say to us today in this show that pursuing your joy in God is a philosophy of life that's built on these five convictions. Number one, longing to be happy is good. The longing to be happy is a universal experience, and it is good. You want to make sure that the desires that you have are glorifying God, not glorifying sin, but it's okay to pursue your pleasure. I mean, one passage that really talks about this at length would be Romans chapter 6, where it says in verse 11, "So you must consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." So it's saying, hey, we all have desires and we all have passions, but don't let it be controlled by sin. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. And then verse 13 of Romans 6, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under law, but under grace." So this whole passage is saying, again, sin is the enemy, not pleasure. And this enemy of sin is definitely attempting to storm the castle of your life. And sin is contending for the throne. And one of the main ways that sin does battle against us is to turn your desires into traitors. I mean, the idea is that we all have desires in our bodies. That's just part of being human. But sin tries to confuse our desires and deceive our desires because sin is a deceiver. How does sin do this? What exactly is sin's strategy when attacking our body? Well, sin tries to capture our desires and then turn us into slaves of sin. And sin does this by making obedience to the sinful desires seem very rewarding. I mean, sin lies to us with its half-truths. It'll be okay, just this once. Nobody will know. You deserve this. This will feel so good. And then obeying these sinful desires, we have to acknowledge it does feel good, but only in the short term. And then later comes the misery and the destruction. And that's why when talking about Moses, Hebrews 11:25 says that Moses was choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So sin is pleasurable, but it's fleeting. And that's why we've got to put off, Ephesians 4:22, our deceitful desires. That's why we've got to realize that sin attempts to take our desires and then it makes liars out of them. Sin promises satisfaction and happiness, but it only delivers a cheap, fleeting, shallow stimulation that leaves us less content and less peaceful and less hopeful and more guilty and more restless and more discontent and more enslaved. And in the end, if we don't fight the way Romans 6 tells us to, then we'll lose the battle and our bodies will surrender to the schemes of the devil. So we got to fight the fight, right? And that's with the every part of your body, it belongs to God. And so I believe that pursuing joy is not a sin, it's commanded. But we want to pursue our joy in God. I believe that the Bible affirms this as clearly as it affirms creation. It's the way God made us. He made us to want to be happy. That's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. So again, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be cheerful. When we're sad, our spirit is broken. And so we do definitely need to be pursuing our joy in God. I believe this ought to be a philosophy of life built on these five convictions. Remember, the first conviction is the idea that pursuing joy in God or longing to be happy is good. It's a good thing to want to be happy. We just want to make sure that we're finding our happiness in God. Here's a second conviction about this truth that your life ought to be built on pursuing happiness. Number two, seek your happiness and that which will provide the deepest satisfaction. Okay, so we're saying pursue delight, pursue pleasure, seek happiness, but only do it in that which will provide the deepest satisfaction. So we should never try to deny or resist our longing to be happy as though it were a bad impulse. Instead, we should seek to intensify this longing and nourish it with whatever, here's the key, with whatever will provide the deepest and the most enduring satisfaction. I mean, C.S. Lewis preached a sermon many years ago called The Weight of Glory. And in this sermon, he states this, quote, "The New Testament has lots to say about self-denial, but not about self-denial as an end in itself. We are told to deny ourselves and to take up our crosses in order that we may follow Christ in nearly every description of what we shall ultimately find if we do so contains an appeal to desire." He continues, quote, "If there lurks in the most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak." In other words, we need to strengthen our desire to pursue pleasure, but to find it in God. And the problem is, well, he says it this way, C.S. Lewis, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." So what is C.S. Lewis saying? He's saying that our desires are not too strong, they're too weak. They're too weak because they're too easily satisfied with the things that this world offers. What does the world offer? Fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. That's what the world offers. And when we go for it And we try to find joy and fulfillment in what the world offers. It's like a child who's playing in the mud, and you're just building your own mud pies in a slum that would be in the bad part of town, the poor part of town, with dirt, because you cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. In other words, why would you play in the dirt where it's nasty when you could go to the beach where it's open and clear, and the holiday or the vacation at the beach would be much more satisfying? The problem, again, C.S. Lewis says, is that we are far too easily pleased. So what am I saying to you, young man? Don't be easily pleased. Only find true joy in the presence of God. Here's how David says it in Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forever. So, young man, stop finding your pleasure in sin or in whatever it is this world offers, and instead find your pleasure, but find it in the presence of God, whereas at his right hand is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Now, don't go away, because you come back, we're going to continue to talk about what it means to pursue joy in your Christian walk.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment, as he's tying joy and obedience. Men, listen, let me put one decision on the table that will shape the next 4 years of your life, and a lot of it after that. If you're choosing a college path right this moment, or maybe you have a family member and you're helping a young man choose, I want to encourage you to pick a place that treats scripture as the framework and then builds real skill on top of it. That's the Master's University. You'll find majors with substance like engineering, business, biblical counseling, and also professors who expect you to handle the Word of God accurately and apply it in the real world. If you want training that builds conviction and confidence at the same time, start the conversation at masters.edu/manhood. That is the Masters University. Now, real quick, also something else that I really would urge and encourage you to do, Fortis Plus. Download it right now. Put it on your home screen, because everything inside Fortis Plus costs nothing, and it will guide your day and it will guide your week. Listen, hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you right now, absolutely free of charge, and we're adding to it every single day. New episodes, new podcast episodes roll out daily. Real biblical talk on purity and relationships and discipline, marriage and parenting advice, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, theology stuff, all anchored in scripture. So you can download it right now to your smart device, your smartphone, your tablet, by going to the place where you download app set, or you can also do it on most smart TVs as well. Just search for Fortis Plus in the place where you download them on the device that you want to download it to, or you can also go to fortisplus.org. And real quick, the reason that this stays free for the next person, the reason we don't charge for this content, it's because of gospel partners. Those are men and women just like you who have been helped by this ministry and the content that we've been producing for well over 25 years, and they've decided to link arms with us and join us so that we can continue producing the content that we produce and distribute it to more people all over the world. If that's you, if you're already giving faithfully to your local church and you want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, there are some things that you probably need to take into consideration. So go to fortisinstitute.org and find out what it would look like in your life to do that, and begin praying about it and talking to your spouse about it if you need to. But definitely, we would be so honored if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where today on our show, we're talking about pursuing joy in your Christian walk. And we're trying to encourage you, young man, to be a Christian hedonist, which doesn't mean you find pleasure in sin like a heathen would, but rather it means that as a Christian, you pursue your greatest pleasure, but your greatest pleasure can only be found in God, not in sin. What I'm saying to you is I want to encourage you to pursue your joy in God as a philosophy of all of life that's built on these five convictions. Number one, longing to be happy is good. Number two, seek your happiness in that which will provide you the deepest satisfaction. And this brings us to number three, your deepest happiness is found only in God. not from God, but in God. I mean, think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So again, Jesus is saying that's what the Christian life and that's what it means to be in the kingdom of God is such a treasure that you would be willing to sell everything you have. Why? Because of the joy that you found in the treasure of being part in God's kingdom. You sell everything that you have to buy the field so that you can really discover and delight in the true treasure of knowing God. Jesus continues in Matthew 13, verses 45, 46, he gives a similar parable. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." Again, I think you know the meaning of the parable, pursuing God and walking and as a Christian. It's like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And when the merchant found that one pearl of great value, he sold everything else and bought that one pearl. Why? Because that one pearl is enough. And so translation, Piper again says this, quote, "God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him." And so if the chief end of man, remember, is to glorify God by enjoying him forever, then God's going to only be most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him, when you sell all the other pearls for the one pearl of great price and you go out and you buy it. In other words, you sell everything else in your life. You deny yourself and you take up your cross and you follow him. Anything else is sin. Piper again says, sin is what you do when you're not satisfied in God. Because when you are satisfied in God with joy in your heart and your mind and your emotions, then God is going to be glorified in you. And the problem is, I think too many of us who grew up in the church, me included, thought for a long, long time that I either had to pursue my greatest joy in the world or I could be a dutiful Christian. And so I chose many times to just be a dutiful Christian. I mean, I struggled with sin like we all do and at times gave in. But by and large, I was like, okay, I can't go party. I can't go have sex. I can't go drinking. I can't do this. I can't do that. And people would say, why? And I'm like, well, because I'm a Christian. As if it was some kind of like, you know, I'm bound to being a Christian. Therefore, I'm missing out on all that life has to offer. No. It's not like that, young man. Sin is really only what you do when you're too easily satisfied in sin. But when you're trying to find your greatest satisfaction in God, then you're going to pursue what you really desire. And what you really desire as a Christian is satisfaction in God. And this leads us really to our fourth principle in these philosophies that we're looking at here. Number four, this happiness in God grows as we share it with others. I mean, the happiness we find in God reaches its consummation when it is shared with others in manifold ways of love. C.S. Lewis said it this way, quote, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation." He's saying that you praise things that you enjoy, but you like to praise those things because as you praise those things, you're sharing that joy with others. I mean, Piper states it this way, quote, "Worship is adoration, and we adore only what we delight in. There is no such thing as sad adoration or unhappy praise." Think about it. You talk excitingly. That's like praising the things that you're interested in, the things that bring you happiness. And what I'm saying is instead of talking about the latest sports team championship or the latest concert or the latest experience you had that you thought was so awesome, let us just check ourselves to see if we're really finding our greatest joy in God. Here's how the scripture says it in Psalm 95:2. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Or how about Psalm 100 verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing." Psalm 117 verses 1 and 2, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord." This joy that you find in God, this happiness in God, It grows as we share it with others. And we can do that through singing, through preaching, through evangelism, through true fellowship. This is all true in living your life out in all aspects of your life to the glory of God. In Christian fellowship comes greater joy than partying with the world. Pursuing your joy in God is a philosophy of life built on these five convictions. And number five, the pursuit of pleasure in God is necessary to worship God. In other words, if you really want to worship God like we're commanded, we need to find our pleasure in Him. To the extent that we try to abandon the pursuit of our own pleasure, we fail to honor God and love people. Or to put it positively, the pursuit of pleasure is a necessary part of all worship and virtue. That is, the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. In other words, the quest for happiness in God is not optional, it's commanded. Remember, delight yourself in the Lord. That's a command. And only then will you find the desire of your heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a command. And then you will be able to truly rejoice. Or consider it all joy, another command, James 1, 2 through 3, whenever you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. So what have we been saying on these two shows? We're saying that your Christian walk and all that you do will be profoundly influenced by these truths if you'll study them from God's Word, meditate on them with the help of the Holy Spirit, and apply them in your life even as Jesus did. I mean, John 17, 13, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Again, how do you fight for joy in your Christian walk? By learning that it's about duty and delight. It is not about duty with no delight, and it's not about delight with no duty. You honor God most by delighting in Him and spending time with Him. And as you do this, you will find that God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. Let me end with maybe giving you an illustration again that I took from John Piper that kind of helps us see what he means by glorifying God by delighting in Him. Let's say that it's my anniversary. My wife and I just recently celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary. And so let's say on the day of our anniversary that I come home a little early from work, and let's say I kind of dressed up a little bit and I bought some flowers and I put on some cologne, not too much guys, but I put on some cologne, all right, and I ring the doorbell. And my wife comes to the door, because I don't usually ring the doorbell, you know, when I get home, so she doesn't know who it is. And she opens the door, and I say, "Honey, you look amazing. Tonight, for our anniversary, I want to take you out to a nice restaurant. Here are some flowers. Why don't you go get changed, and let's go out on the town?" And if my wife, let's say she was overcome with emotion, and she said, "Oh, honey, that's so sweet. Why did you?" And if I were to say, "It's my duty." Now, in that moment, my wife would be like, "What? It's your duty?" That doesn't make her feel very loved and very honored. If I were just to say, "Well, the reason I'm giving you flowers and taking you out is because it's my duty." Now, think about the exact same scenario. I ring the doorbell. My wife comes to the door. She sees the flowers. I have a big smile on my face. "Honey, I want to take you out. It's our anniversary." And she'd ask me, "Oh, honey, why are you doing this?" And if I were to say, "Because nothing makes me more happy than spending the evening with you. Go and put on a nice dress. Let's go out to dinner and let's enjoy one another." Do you think that my wife would respond better if I said, "It's my duty," or if I said, "It's my delight to spend time with you"? And if you can see it in that illustration, that's what we mean when we say, find your delight in God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And so that means we need to pursue our joy in our Christian walk every day in God's presence as we seek to obey, which sometimes does require duty. But we're going to be also transformed by seeing it as a delight. Find your pleasure, young man, in God. Let me pray for you that we could do just that. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to look at these truths about how pursuing pleasure is a good thing. And help us as young men to fight for pursuing that pleasure in God. Forgive us for making mud pies in the slum when we could have a holiday at the beach. Help us to truly delight ourselves in the Lord. And we know that you will give us the desires of our heart. God, help us to see that being a Christian is a great joy and a great privilege. And we want to walk in obedience as we learn to find our duty being transformed by the delight in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.